You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Brant Myers. He's the author of the new book, Painkiller, and it was just released February 16th. So in this book, there's a message that you want people to hear. What's the strong message?
Well, I really have tried to relay that at the end of the day, whether it is a family member, a friend, you never, ever give up on them when it comes to the disease of addiction, because you just don't know when the light is going to go on. And we don't give up on people that have other diseases. We don't look down upon them, but for some reason, the stigma with alcoholism and drug addiction, we do. And I know that it's frustrating, because I'm sure the doctors in the National Hockey League and my teammates and my friends and family were frustrated with me. But if they didn't give me that fifth chance, I probably wouldn't be talking to you today.
And how do we support them? How do we not give up? How do we keep an authentic conversation going and not walk away or give up?
Well, I'd probably read my book. I mean, it's a very detailed, I guess you could say, manuscript on not giving up. And the one person that didn't give up was me, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you see the support from other people that didn't throw in the towel as well, and thank God for that.
And do you see another book? Do you see this as being a continuum, or was it just something you just had to get out there and share with the world?
Oh, yeah, no, I've never even pictured another book. This started out as a journal. all of a sudden it just turned into this thing. And I gotta give a thanks to my editor, Nick Garrison with Penguin Random House, who, I sent him my manuscript and the professionalism that gentleman put into this, and the hard work, what he did and how he transformed my story is just incredible. So I wanted to say thanks to Nick.
So there's a lot in this book for people inside hockey world or outside. It's for all of us.
Yeah, and it's absolutely. I've had somebody call me that had never had an addiction problem, but he called me and said, you know what, geez, those parts of your parents in there, I think I'm going to give my mom and dad a call and try and repair that relationship. You know, and it was nice to hear somebody talk about the book other than the addiction side, because there are, I believe, a lot of different life lessons that we can learn in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't got my copy yet, but I'm really looking forward to reading it. It sounds like it's going to be a good one. And really, there was a saving of yourself before you could work with healing those relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. You're no good to anyone else unless you get yourself better. And quite honestly, every time that I look at my daughter, it reminds me that there's more to this than Brant.
Yeah.
And I know that my grandma, who has passed away, and my grandfather, they both raised me. They'd be looking down and smiling on me right now, and I'm sure that they're very proud of the 13 years of sobriety.
Fantastic. So that's a real gift to be able to look at your daughter and see every year that she attains, you've attained that year of really living.
Yeah. And usually pre-COVID, we jump on a plane and head down to Los Angeles, where actually all of my sober friends are. And we go out, and Chloe gives me a sobriety cake and a coin. And then the next week, I give her cake. So it's a pretty cool thing that we get to share together.
So February really is Heart Month in your family.
Yes, it is, for sure.
Yeah. And the book, you know, it's all your memoirs of addiction. Do those things come to you, or are they kind of like you got them written and they're way behind you?
Well, you're talking about some of these memories that I've had to really sit and think about that were, 30 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a while to think back on. But for the most part, I prided myself in every story being as accurate as I could. And the biggest word is truthful as I could.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't about trying to, elaborate on a story or make myself sound better. I was just writing it the way that I remembered it, it happened.
Has this book helped you to be able to help NHL teams and players that are kind of hovering in the same areas of addiction?
At the moment, you mean?
I mean, it's a brand new book, but has it opened up areas in your life where you're helping the teams?
Well, it hasn't even been out for a week, so yeah. I I'm not sure. I did work with the Los Angeles Kings in 2015. I got hired as a sober liaison for them, and I worked there for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I moved from Los Angeles, I wrote a book. But ultimately, I'm not sure. I'm hope. That's my hope. My hope is to help anybody, whether mm-hmm. you've got an NHL logo on or, you work at Starbucks. It really doesn't matter.
Right. What part does shame have in holding us in addiction?
What part does shame have in what? Sorry?
In holding people in addiction.
Well, I think that it all sort of is a bad milkshake, shame, remorse, guilt, dishonesty. It's just a recipe for sinking deeper and deeper. And I think that's why for me, when I got sober, I really prided myself on getting honest for once in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that had to do with everybody that I talked to. But the funny thing is, it's like, in 13 years, I don't really create wreckage anymore, so there's not a lot to lie about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice feeling.
Yeah. Wreckage. That's a good way to put it. So the day-to-day, week-to-week is just an expansion of all the things you've learned in rehab and in building relationships in school when you went to studying substance abuse and behavior health. Did you see any reason why some people fall into it and some people can use and not fall into that addiction piece?
Yeah, I think that they talk about whether you've been bit with the bug or not, and I didn't really want to analyze it too much, but I was definitely bit with the bug. I just remember how much I fell in love with the way that alcohol and drugs made me feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I would choose that over, making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year playing in the best league in the world. So there was obviously an issue there. And people deal with other situations as well where they probably go, why me? And I did the why me, for a long time, but when I stopped doing the why me and then, let's figure this thing out on how to make it better, then my life started to become more serene.
So there's really an act of putting away thoughts that don't enhance your life.
Absolutely, for sure. I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. What words of wisdom would you have for people that are actually listening to the program right now that are like, just struggling to put down whatever it is, whatever substance it is that is being a painkiller for them because they can't really tolerate what's going on in life right now?
Oh, I feel for the people that are struggling with that in the last calendar year. I even know it for me that it's been a tough year just mentally on what's happened throughout the world, and for people that may have had a bit of a dependency problem pre-COVID, well, the stats that I've read, it has doubled.
Mm-hmm.
In the last year. So, if you ever get to a point where, you know, you want to get some help. When I got sober in 2008, there wasn't a ton of social media outlets to go on. But now with these Facebook recovery groups that have 100,000 people where you can reach out and get onto blogs and, you know, Instagram ones that have 50,000 people. I mean, there's more resources now that you can reach out to for support than when I got sober 13 years ago.
Interesting. So just getting online and finding people online to support you rather than actually physically getting to meet people and be
in. Yeah, and these people, the great part about these forums that they go on is that they're not going to judge you. I mean, you're going to go on there and tell them your story, and they're going to go, yeah, I've been there, done that 100 times. You know, right. So it's like there's no shame on those forums. It's about recovery and help. And these people will be amazed that once you open yourself up and ask for help on some of those social media sites, oh, get ready for your phone to be going off all day.
Wow. And I guess you do realize when you're in those that everybody's story has a lot of the same things. It's that we're not that unique, that addiction is addiction and certain things happen.
That's right. Yes, you're not. You'll find that your story isn't that special. And, you know, some of the things that I talked about in treatment, you know, there are a lot of guys that come up to me or women would go, yeah, done that. And I'd be like, really? And they'd be like, oh, yeah.
So that's a uniqueness. Well, is your book found in Kohl's and bookstores like that now as well, or where can we find it? Do we go on Amazon?
Yeah, so you can go on Amazon to get it. You can go on Indigo. You can go on, Penguin, Random House. Honestly, pretty much anywhere that you would like to buy a book, you
Great.
Can get it. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being on Health First Radio today. And thank you for taking the time to share your life and write this book so that we can all be encouraged to better health.
Yes. Thank you so much. And you have yourself a wonderful day.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.